Neil, morning, Neil.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead.
Stephen, just want to make the point. I actually live in the Balmorph area, and our experience is that the British Army soldiers, in uniform, out of uniform, in the barracks, out of the barracks, in cars and out of cars, all shot innocent civilians, not just members of the MRF. So, while the programme is welcome, we here in Balmorphy, we remember the 11 victims of the Balmorphy massacre. We remember young 13-year-old Martha Campbell shot dead by a British soldier. We remember Tommy McElroy shot dead by a British soldier. So, I would appeal to, I never got his name, that ex-British Army...
Colonel Richard Kemp.
Richard Kemp. I thought it was disgraceful in the first place that he's trying to float this idea that the members of the MRF made that programme to sell a book. That is absolutely disgraceful. But having said that, I would ask him to support the campaign by the Ballymurphy Massacre people who have put a proposal to the British government to investigate the Ballymurphy Massacre at a very, very cost-effective way. So if he's that concerned about the actions of British soldiers, he should actually be contacting the Balmorphy Massacre campaign and offering his support to find out the truth.
Yeah, but here's the score, Neil, and I understand and I hear what you're saying, but do you think there should be an indefinite number of investigations into the past? Is that what you're saying? Investigation after and pursue. How many inquiries would we have? Now, look, you know, I understand that everybody who lost someone, they would want an inquiry. But can we afford them? Is it going to do any good? Is it going to find the truth?
Stephen, in the first place, the Balmorphy Massacre campaign are not asking for an inquiry. They're asking for an investigation, and it's different. They're asking for an investigation based on the Hillsborough model that was initiated by the British government and was proved to be very cost-effective. The Hillsborough model was an investigation into the killing of 96 Liverpool supporters in 1989. If the British government were able and willing to initiate that type of approach to the deaths of 96 Liverpool supporters, surely they should be able to initiate the same type of approach to the killing of 11 Balmorphy citizens by their soldiers.
Colonel Kemp, what did you make of what the Attorney General has said in Northern Ireland? Let's draw a line and pre-1998 Good Friday Agreement, do not seek prosecution.
Well, I don't agree with it. I think that where there are outstanding cases which haven't been, where people haven't been brought to justice for their crimes, that should continue indefinitely. And I think I would challenge the point made by your previous commenter there that British soldiers, you know, in and out of uniform, in and out of vehicles, apparently sort of went around shooting innocent civilians. But that's simply not the case. There were isolated incidents whereby soldiers did shoot and kill innocent civilians, and in some of those cases, those soldiers went to prison for murder. It certainly wasn't widespread. It certainly wasn't policy. And
excuse me, Richard, it actually was policy. And if you had lived in Balmorphy in the 1970s, as I have done, you would accept it that the 11 people killed during the Balmorphy massacre over a three-day period, the 11 of them were totally innocent, including the parish priest. The five people killed in the Springhill massacre in July 1972, killed by British soldiers, including another priest, totally innocent. 13-year-old girl Martha Campbell, shot dead in May 1972 by British soldiers, totally innocent. Tommy McElroy, shot 50 yards from the local barracks in February 1972, totally innocent. Your worldview does not correspond with our worldview.
I agree with you. It doesn't correspond with it. And where, you know, if there are cases such as the ones you've mentioned which remain outstanding, then they should be investigated and, if necessary, people brought to justice. But let's not forget as well that the very small number of albeit tragic and horrific cases where British soldiers shot innocent people, there were vastly more deaths caused by the IRA and the loyalist groups, and the IRA killed far more Catholics than were ever killed by the British Army.
Richard, we should put just as much emphasis on
investigating crimes committed by terrorist groups which have not been resolved as we should by the very small number of crimes committed by the state. I'm not disagreeing with your sentiment, with your desire to see justice done. I agree with it. But we shouldn't be focusing alone on a small number of isolated incidents which were certainly not state policy and certainly not the Army's policy.
Richard, do you understand what happened in Ireland from 1971 onwards? According to Ames Bradley, we have to look at what happened to Ballymurphy in August 1971 to understand that that was a trigger for a wider conflict, a wider conflagration.
Okay.
Stephen.
Neil, thank you. Go ahead, Patricia.
Just a quick point to make on Richard Kemp about the conviction of a small number of British soldiers who were convicted for murder. I have no idea why he thinks it would be acceptable that those convicted murderers, in some cases, were accepted back into the military and were promoted following their serving their sentence for murdering innocent civilians. But let's look at this in a bigger and broader picture. We cannot just continue to try and focus on single issues, on terrible atrocities and terrible wrongdoing that has been perpetrated right across the political spectrum. Let's not forget that there are none of the actors in the conflict can walk away with a clear conscience and clean hands. Everyone has to be held accountable here. So let's take this opportunity, whilst we have it, whilst the TASC initiative is ongoing, to try and find a cohesive way to deal with the legacy of the conflict. And Amnesty International has launched an online petition asking people, if you truly want the past to be dealt with, then do sign this petition, and that's online on the Amnesty International website.
Sam's next. Morning, Sam.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sam.
I'm just, every time you put on the radio, they've seen the burn down the British Army. I mean, what I would like to say is, these things happen in trouble, in war. You get over it. I mean, what justice or what rights did those two British soldiers...
Get over it? These things happen in war, get over it?
Yeah.
Try telling that to someone that's lost their mum or their dad or their son or their daughter. Get over it.
Yeah, well, is it going to go on for another 40, 50 years arguing about it? What justice did those two British soldiers who came across that funeral get? They got dragged out of the car. They were shot with their own weapons. Woken up before they got shot.
Do you not expect more restraint and better behaviour and a better morality and a better integrity from the state? Do you not think,
no one's perfect. We're all human. Humans do bad things. But there has to be a line drawn of it, or in another 40 years, you're still going to be talking about this.
Well, do you know what, Sam? If there's a line drawn under it, then what do you send to the next generation?
If you want to commit war crimes,
if you want to commit atrocities, well, sure, you know, we might just draw a line under it in 20 or 30 years' time. Work away. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying things were committed on both sides. The IRA committed some awful atrocities. I don't need to remind anyone in the country that. They're not the only ones.
John's next. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Stephen, my name's John Crawford. My mother was killed in 1972 with the IRA. My brother was killed in 1975 with the soldiers cutting through the Royal. My brother was 15. A child. And for that soldier last night to come on the TV and state he would do it again. His last words on TV last night, Stephen, he would do it again. What was the Catholics? Like, I don't know what we were up against. And my family have no political connections ever. My mother was killed in 1972 and left. My father was left for 10 kids. And 3 years later, my brother was shot dead. 15-year-old child.
Where was he?
Coming through the Royal to avoid trouble, and there was a woman on each side of him, Stephen. And they won't give us the truth about that either.
So you're 15.
I can't talk about it still.
Your 15-year-old brother was trying to get home, was he?
Yes.
And what happened?
He was told the soldiers were heading all over. A lot of trouble. It was the 10th of August in 1975. There was a lot of trouble, Stephen. We all know there was trouble on both sides. But my brother had freaked out, and he had asked two women to walk him through the Royal, and that's what they did, and he was shot in the chest with a high velocity rifle. 15-year-old child, Stephen. He freaked out because he knew what happened to his mummy 3 years earlier.
And was that ever investigated?
Crossfire.
Was that ever investigated?
This one was in the HET now, but they won't tell us nothing. There was somebody convicted from my mother, but my brother, a 15-year-old chased Stephen.
What did they say at the time, John, about your brother?
They say the fella done it with chased him into the frame. Some fella, he chased him into the Royal and shot him with a handgun. But a high velocity rifle, Stephen, that everybody knows had to come from a high velocity bullet has to come from a rifle. And there's two women in each side of him, linking him. And he was hit, and they weren't.
And no doubt you're still wanting answers all these years later.
Oh, of course we do. I was listening to that fellow the other day, McCambo. We were tortured, Stephen, with the welfare, because we had no mother. And my father had to work on for 10 kids. And 3 years later, my brother was doing the same thing.
We're 38 years later now.
Yes.
Do you really think there's a realistic prospect? Because this gets into what the Attorney General has been saying. That memories fade and witnesses die. Do you really think there is a realistic prospect of bringing the killers of your brother to justice?
Stephen, what I would like to say to you, we can forgive, but we never, ever, ever forget. And for that soldier last night, his last words were, he would do it again. He would do it again. We lived in the Anderson's Turn area, and the half of them shootings last night and that thing were in the Anderson's Turn area. And that's the boys are. They were disbanded 3 years earlier before my brother was shot. But it's the same circumstances. They won't give us answers.
And what would be more important to you, answers or justice?
Well, we're not looking at justice, Stephen. I wouldn't like to see a 57 or a 67-year-old man. Well, which would he be, but if he was a man at all. But that man must realise the next morning after it, he shot a 15-year-old child. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knew the next morning what he'd done to our Patrick. He knew what he'd done, and there's nobody, they try to frame it on him. But that's why we know it's a soldier that did it.
And you find it difficult even now?
Stephen, thank God. I've phoned him a year and I'm shaking like a leaf. But I've been on your show a few times, having to do track and all, but my God, but that soldier last night, you made me sick.
Colonel Kemp?
Well, I obviously I have huge sympathy for your caller there. I don't know obviously any of the details of the case, but again, if you know, my view is if these offences did take place, then they do need to be investigated, and that applies whether it's a very very small number of isolated military cases, which I insist that was the case, or if it was the much much larger number of murders carried out by terrorist groups. But we can't, I'm afraid we can't draw a line under these events. Even if it is 38 years later, it may be that the chances of coming to a firm conclusion is reduced, but I think we should still attempt to do so.
John, thank you for calling us this morning. William, morning William.
Good morning, Stephen. I was 28 years of age and worked in Royal Avenue in 72. We lost the Royal Avenue Hotel, the Grand Central Hotel, Spinning Mill, I could go on, Peters Hill, Donegal Street. However, that's not the point. Well, I'm going to just turn around and say, when I think of an Irish flag protest to what it was in 72, it makes these people moan about a half an hour shopping. However, if this crack group revolted me last night when I think of it, because my complaint at the time was, how can the IRA do this to Belfast with impunity and nobody getting them? When I think all the leaders are near enough alive today, so this crack group bumming and blowing last night with the Don must have just took out easy targets at barricades, which is more revolting. More revolting. Right? So there's something that smells about this. When I think of the Falls Road in 1969 with their cups of tea for the army, I'm sure that the IRA didn't like that. And then the bombing and so forth and everything else. You didn't see the army going into Ballycastle. You didn't see the army going into Ballyhome. You didn't see the army in Portaferry. The IRA were making victims of their own people. They were making victims of all this flattening Belfast, which they'd wanted to do, and all these innocents now because of army taking easy targets. That's if the truth was told last night.
Fred and Dee and Dominic. Dominic first. Go on, Dominic.
Hello, Stephen. Just listening to that show last night, I mean, these soldiers made these claims now. No army works on its own. I mean, that has to go straight back to the government. You know, they had to have clearance from Whitehall. So that's at the back door of Whitehall. If this is the case, the British government, fair enough, the soldiers should be taken to task and taken to court. But more importantly, the British government should be taken on a war or on a war crimes tribunal.
There was no evidence in that programme last night that the government approved of this, but you're asking, you're getting close to an interesting point, hold on a second, which is that if that is true, what we saw last night, then an obvious question, how high up the command chain did the instruction go? That's a fair question.
Yes.
Who knew? And how high up the command chain did the people who knew go?
Yeah, it's a fair question, but also, I mean, the soldiers alluded to this when they said that a crack team from several regiments of the British Army was picked out. Who picks this? I mean, this has to go back to the government. I mean, it's no use people putting rose-coloured glasses on here. You know, this was a dirty war, fueled by soldiers, but more so fueled by the government and fueled by people within the corridors of Whitehall.
Do you know what? Some people were having a go at me. I looked at the Twitter feed last night and some people were having a go at me. I have in recent times asked some people here on the ground who were former members of paramilitary groups and others. I've asked them if they believe there is a psychopathic tendency towards some people who are able to shoot someone cold, dead, looking into those human eyes and just shoot multiple people cold, dead. Now, I saw the Twitter feed last night, some people asking would I ask the same question of British soldiers who were able to do that. Absolutely I would. Absolutely I would ask, is there a psychopathic tendency to people just because they have some type of military uniform on who are able to, against the law, against the rules of engagement and also against what is necessity, they didn't have to, is there a psychopathic tendency to these people who just shoot into a crowd of innocent men and women?
I think more importantly...
Absolutely, I would ask that question.
I think more importantly, you need to ask the question of the politicians who actually send these people out. Is there a psychopathic tendency within those in power within the government who actually these so-called crack units, which are more or less murder gangs, put them together? That's who the question needs to be asked of. I mean, soldiers are trained to kill. Unfortunately, that's life. But the politicians who send them out, that's who needs that the answer questions.